That's cool.
Hey, everybody.
Mike.
Mike checking in. Who's on?
Hi.
Al, I hear you. Olivia?
Al, yeah.
Yeah, Olivia.
Tom.
Hey, Tom. What is happening?
I have a couple of questions, Mike.
Yeah, fire. Kick us off.
Yeah. So was doing uploading a list, following the directions, and when it came to putting the fields in, there weren't the right fields for the city and state when I was trying to transform over, and so I was at a standstill trying to upload the list. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, so you're trying to upload a list of leads or buyers or contacts, one of the three, right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, leads. Uh-huh.
And what wasn't matching up?
The state and city.
The state and city.
Yeah, you know when you pull them over from right to
left?
Yeah,
from right to left, yeah.
I didn't have those fields available to pull over, and it said I couldn't continue until I had those.
Huh. I'd have to look. I'm not thinking off the top of my head.
That's okay. And I was just wondering.
Let's figure it out tomorrow. Because you shouldn't need custom fields for that.
Well,
what are you trying to pull
thinking.
Over? Sellers, seller leads, buyer leads, or contacts?
Woody.
Seller leads. Yeah, seller leads.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. Touch base with me tomorrow. And we'll get to the bottom of it. It's gotta be something simple. I just have to see it.
Yeah, I think it's something simple.
I would guess.
It can make
yeah.
sense. And I just have one other thing too. You tell me if I need to email it. My bird dog is putting his own leads in.
Okay.
In his campaign.
Okay.
And he says when he checks on or gets in, the screen goes blank. All he sees is opaque. Have you heard of that before?
Anytime the screen goes cloudy, the page tour is activated. And we've talked about just doing away with them, but when the screen goes cloudy, mm-hmm. you have to find the pop-up. It's supposed to be a handy feature. The thing that's crazy about it is, from a programmer standpoint, the internet browsers don't all function the same. So it'll show up. I can't just tell you exactly where to look because the different browsers will show it in slightly different areas. So if he doesn't see it, tell him to shrink his screen, find the pop-up, and click End the Tour. And as soon as you click End Tour, it won't come back on unless you clear your cookies or something like that. So it'll remember that you've got rid of it, and the opaqueness will go away and the screen will be live.
Awesome.
That's all that is.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. All
You're
right.
welcome.
Great. That's all I had. Thanks.
Okay. Who else wants to chime in? Updates and questions. I know a bunch more have jumped on.
Okay. Well.
There you go. Captain
Nobody
John.
What's up, man? Yeah, you already know. Big closing
Long
tomorrow.
Time no talk. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about the deal again.
This is the deal. This is that. This wasn't vacant, even though it is vacant. It's for a bandit sign. But this is the deal where we fired the attorney, the closing attorney.
I remember that from Monday.
Yeah, she kept going back and the other one telling us, well, the title company needs to tell me what I need. But anyway, we've got the new guy, so he's got it all set up inside of a week. So.
Love it.
It was just some airship affidavits and stuff. So there you go. And then,
we were talking about this on Monday. Let's revisit it. You get somebody in a little glitch in the matrix here, and you know that a deal should be getting to closing, and somebody's saying, I can't.
Right.
I mean, you just got another title company or another attorney involved, another title company, and
right.
said, hey, let's get to this to the table. And inside of a week, now you've got a solution. So, that's always the case, right?
We waited three weeks on the other girl, man. She was just
– Yeah.
And the thing about it is we're using
feet.
The – this is per the buyer. You know, he's a good buyer, so we used whoever he wanted. And
yeah.
Because he does 20 or 30 deals a month, and
right.
He's trying to find somebody. But anyway, so I don't think he's going to use her anymore.
Cool.
And then the other one, the other vacant, the big big mansion I got, I did get it under contract and got it sold, and that went to escrow Wednesday afternoon. So,
what's closing date?
Well, you know, the contract date's 27th the next month, but as soon as title comes back. So.
Cool.
And actually in Jefferson County here, you can get title back faster than you can get a letter from the sewer company. So that's a big deal here in our county is sewer
Does every state have a Jefferson County in it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think
man.
We do.
Yeah.
We definitely do in Denver, just on the west side. Jeffco.
But this is just a little history lesson about Alabama municipalities and politics. I'm sure it's no secret to everybody. You know, every politician we've ever had has been crooked or arrested or whatever. You know, our governor just resigned, you know, because of a scandal, sex scandal. So,
just following suit, right? Par for the course.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, we had, besides Detroit, you know, several years back, Birmingham had the second largest bankruptcy filing on record. And it was all due to the sewer system that was built and contracted out. And everybody had their hand in the pie. It was like billions and billions and billions of dollars. So,
wow.
So now that's the county makes huge efforts to get whatever penny they can. So we have to actually wait on the letter to come back that the homeowner doesn't owe any sewer charges because, I mean, we've got people that live out here where I do. I live probably 20 miles from town, and I'm on an old system, but that, they have to pay Jefferson County sewer charges, and they live in another county.
Wow.
Yeah, man,
that just sounds like government has their hands in it.
Well, you know, title's 3 to 5 days most of the time max.
Yeah.
And this sewer letter thing is a 10-day turnaround sometimes. So.
You know, you'll find that as you go into different markets, they just, you know, no two cities really operate exactly the same. It's just little workarounds here and there, and get to know them, work inside whatever the quirks are, and get deals done. So, John, what are the numbers on this one tomorrow?
Well, it's a, you know, big house, and it's, you know, the ARV is probably around 130, 140, you know, 6 or 7 bedrooms, 4 baths. And,
no, you're closing tomorrow. That's the one that's in a couple weeks,
that
right?
Tomorrow. Oh, yes. Purchased it for $27,500 and sold it for $35,000, and I'm splitting it, so, you know, just
cool.
Under $4,000.
Yep. Cool.
Assignment. So,
good. Yeah. I was talking to John earlier. He said he's going to blow the whole thing on fireworks this weekend and try and stay out of the ER. So that's exciting.
Oh, well, you know, we have a couple of right here in town where I live, you know, a couple of fireworks stands. They've been up for about 2 weeks already. So.
Yep. It's go time. The big weekend for ERs nationwide. So,
you know,
good stuff,
it.
Man. What else is in the works? We've got closing tomorrow, another one this month, and then anything else on
and
tap?
Then, well, I looked at one yesterday. It's, I call it a shell. It's nothing but bricks and sticks.
Yep.
But a guy was 31 on it. He used to live there, and I think the mortgage he got on it, he bought with it. He used it to buy his the house he lives in now.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get my famous buyer to go look at it, but I know what he's going to say. If I could get it for 15 or 20, I could probably turn it, but he owes 31. So we'll see. You never know.
Okay.
So, and, you know, a couple of others, a lady, I mentioned a lady, I'm waiting on her to get back from the beach a couple of weeks. So she's got 2 or 3 properties. And,
We need to get a private money lender or two in your back pocket. So in the event that, and you've got a couple strong buyers, but in the event they say no, if these are still deals, take those down with a private money lender, fix them up, put a renter in there, whatever, and build a buyer's list of turnkey buyers in and around your area. That would kind of complete
the
cycle.
Yeah, that's what some of these buyers are, but they do the whole turnkey themselves. But, yeah, I mean, there's room for it. There's room for everybody.
Absolutely. And that's just what Rob does. He says he gives himself as many outs as possible. Build a great buyer's list. Build a buyer's list full of multiple exit strategy buyers, some fix and flip, some buy and hold, some turnkey, whatever the case. And then a deal comes across the table and you say, hey, can I just move it? Yes or no? A lot of times yes, sometimes no. And then, hey, this is still a great deal. Here's what we do for this one. Let's just take it down, fix it up. I mean, you'll either know a property manager in town or you can find one. Throw a renter in there. And just sell it ready to go. Just get a private lender on your team. So it's just about creating, you know, how many ways can we get out of this thing where you can still cash a check, right? To have one is okay. To have multiple is ideal. So.
Well, where are they at, man?
Yeah. Oh, they're out there. John, people just have to know that you're moving and they'll want to get on board. You just have to tell them. That's all.
Well, some of my buyers are they lend money too.
Right. I'm telling you what, that is the easiest place to find private money lenders. Go to the buyers list and say, hey, I'm just looking. I know you're a buyer, right? You blast email it, but you write it as if you're typing to one person, right? I know you're a buyer. You've been on my list for a while. You know, do you have any capital that needs to be placed where you'd like to be passive on the deal and not the primary operator, right? If that's you, hit me back. I've got some opportunities.
Well, I've got a couple of guys. Like one of the guy, he doesn't pay a whole lot on his deals, but I mean, he's real good to me. He bought two houses right next to each other from me. About a year and a half ago, it was kind of a probate deal. And we closed. It was supposed to be a double close. We closed on one, and the other ones, somebody had bought paid the taxes on it, and we didn't know it. So, you know, the title company kind of screwed up. So we went ahead and closed on the one. We waited on the other one. It took about 2.5 weeks for the second one. But this buyer, he actually created a mortgage on the fly so I could close on the first one.
Right.
And
the money's out there. It's one of the best reasons to build a really big buyer's list.
Bring me a deal and we'll look at it. So I guess.
And you can either, on something like that, John, you can either just borrow the money or just partner with them. Say, hey, here's what I'm going to do on this. You bring the capital. I'll bring the deal and put the whole thing together. We'll get it fixed up. We'll put a renter in there and split it up however you decide to on the back end. Then you don't have that thing goes sideways. You guys are on the same side of the table. So typically, little side note here, but, you know, a couple different ways to do it. Rob always gets the private lender on the same side of the table as him. So when a deal goes south, he never writes a check. So what's most common in the industry is people borrow the money, and then the private lender is just secured through note and deed of trust, just like a bank. And, you know, you're the owner, operator, whatever. Now, you stand to make more when you just pay the interest rates on it. However, you're carrying more risk because something goes wrong. I mean, Darren, you could speak to this, right? I'm assuming you've had a deal go sideways with all the ones you've done. Maybe not, but something goes sideways, and then you're on the hook for it. Hey, this thing sold for whatever, 40 grand less than we thought. We have to come to the closing come to the table with money, yada, yada, yada. I can't, you know, it's not going to pay back the money I borrowed. Boom, and you're on the hook for that. Where, you know, Rob sets up the note and says, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Private Lender, here's how we'll do this. You bring the money. I'll bring everything else. Here's how we'll split it up. And then, you know, it goes good. He cashes a check. Maybe it's smaller the normal, but there's, you know, the downside is he never writes a check. So anyway, John, that would be a logical add on to your business.
Well, as a matter of fact,
if not, go plan B and still close.
Well, another guy, he is, the regional Homebusters franchisee here. He's actually the regional supervisor now, but he's offered for some reason. He just kind of, well, there's two reasons, but you know, I just happen to think it's because he likes me. But
he likes your accent, but, probably.
Well, yeah, we all do, don't we? He said, if I find a deal that he's offered to, like a fix and flip, to go in and fund it, and we could split it.
Sweet.
So,
get that lined
up.
That call needs to happen tomorrow.
It yet.
That call needs to happen
found
tomorrow.
It yet. Well, you know, he has a reason for it, though. He's trying to give me a buy franchise. So.
That's fine.
Yeah, well.
In the meantime, put some money to pork. It just gives you another option. Just gives you another out. That's all. Another chance to cash a check. Instead of passing on a deal, just put it together in a slightly different way. Right? I mean,
right.
From sitting next to Rob all these years, that, and, you know, he's got now all this experience. He just knows 100 ways to put a deal together. So people say no to that one. He goes, oh, it's just, let's do this. But, and, you know, you don't have to know all 100 now. Just say, hey, what is one more thing that we could do, or one more thing that we could offer, or one more exit strategy? Or, I mean, it makes sense. Whatever you're doing as an investor, it makes sense to have access to private money, because deals are going to come across the table, and it could be a great deal. And for whatever reason, your buyers are, two are out of state, one's booked, you know, they can buy next week, just not this week. Right? Weird timing things happen. And it's just the fact that, hey, let me buy this thing now. Even if you were to just close on it and then start moving it just because it was a great deal, and tell the private lender, hey, here's what we're going to do. The timing's a little off, but this is a smoking deal. I just need a little more time to market it. Let's just buy it. You bring the money. I'll find the buyer. Here's what we'll do to it, and then we'll split it up like this. So
yeah.
Anyway, all right, start working on that. Who else?
Hey, it's Darren.
Hey,
yep, Darren, and then who just said something, said, hey, Mike.
That was me. It's Tom.
All right, Tom, you're on deck.
Beats it to it, Tom. I've got a bunch going on. The biggest thing, though, is I'm definitely moving forward with hiring the disposition manager.
Perfect.
And I was talking to Mark earlier, and we're both in the same seat where we're going to try to hire the same, you know, another person. I'm just hiring the disposition manager. So we're going to go through the resumes this weekend, send out the emails
yep.
for phone interviews for next week. It's like the same
yep.
process. So that's what I'm going to commit myself to for the next week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. It's going to take about that much time to get another person on board.
Yep.
Because I already feel under the gun to get some of these deals that we have under contract sold. And,
yep.
and I'm dropping the ball because I don't have the time, because I'm dealing with other emergencies, you know?
Yep, yep.
So
exactly it.
I do have one. I have a couple of things, though. These are, like, little small technical things. But so I set up a FreedomSoft number that I publish in the MLS on all of my listings. And so I have over 700 contacts in my database that I know are realtors. And so every time I have an open house, I always send out a text message blast. And then every time I get another listing, my list grows. And so it's just starting to snowball here. And
okay.
I always send out a text message that says, hey, it's Darren. I'm having an open house. Don't miss my open house this Sunday, 2 to 4 at 123 Main Street.
Yep.
The boss has called in twice now on the other line. Hey, hang on one second. I'll be right back. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll just go to Tom. And then, Darren, you can
Hey.
Live television here, folks. We'll get Darren's he can finish when he comes back. When your spouse calls, you got to pick up. That's how that works, especially when it's two in a row. That means it's serious. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, you know,
you know, it's a little bit of a dilemma here. I can't find any buyers. I don't think I've been trying hard enough, but I'm kind of stuck. I don't have any deals because the ones that I've been trying to do, nobody will sign the damn contracts. And I'm leaving for 2.5 weeks for Canada in a week. So
between now and then, what have you done? You said you haven't tried too hard. What have you done to find buyers? Because how many transactions have gone down in Pittsburgh in the last 12 months, absentee owners?
Not in the areas that I have the houses.
How many in the city?
In the city?
Yeah, total.
I can't, off the top of my head, I don't have that number. I can get it to you, though. I think
we
looked at it. It was like absentee owners?
Yeah. What was it?
No. It was a couple hundred.
Not in the last year. I wouldn't think.
Well,
there's more activity than that there.
Yeah, but I mean...
Let me see if I can type and talk at the same time. So
the point is,
people are buying. We got to find them.
Yeah. But the zip code that I have, the two different houses are in the same zip code, the same area. And, you know, I just talked to a realtor today, and he goes, yeah, it's a great area, you know, and you can make great returns. Well, he's trying to sell me, you know, rentals so he can make a commission. That's where he's thinking. And
yep.
I was like, yeah, okay, but there's no activity there. And I said, let me ask you something. Is there a really slow time for them to register these? I mean, is it taking an hour for them to register, or, you know, what's the deal? I mean, a year for these to register or what? And he ended up texting me back after he was kind of a jerk on the phone. He called me back and said, sorry for being a jerk. But anyway, so he actually looked it up, and he said, well, actually, it's been abysmal, but now it's better. It's been like a couple of months. And so there really are not a lot of buyers in that area.
But there are buyers. I'm looking this up on List Search really quick.
Okay.
Give me 1 second. Single family, absentee transactions, last 12 months. Because it seems like from some of the research we've been doing, so no preference, 1,616 transactions last 12 months. Pittsburgh MSA.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely buyers, 1,600.
If you take these out by zip code, the zip codes that I've done all my skip tracing in, there's like one or two, or zero, or four.
One or two what?
Transactions.
What are? Have you identified the zip codes where the activity is?
Yeah, but I haven't done any lead generation there. My point is, I should try to find where the buyers are first. Talk to a few buyers. What are they looking for? What's the range? And then go looking for houses. You know.
Yeah, I mean, either way, it's the same. Whether you get them on the phone or whether you look up where they bought. I mean, the data is the data. It gets recorded based on the transaction. So yeah, if you have a week. And we've been talking about buyers for a bit now. You've got to have 10 to 20 conversations with people who are buying in the area, and say, you know, figure out what's going on. I mean, the data, either way, the data tells you. But for you to actually get somebody on the phone and have a conversation and start a relationship, to say, hey, here's what I'm looking for, and then to point in the right direction. So take this week before you go and talk to, you know, find 20 buyers. Because there are 1,600 transactions absentee in the last 12 months, which is 130 a month, 133 and change per month on average are going down in and around Pittsburgh. So the activity's there. I mean, 130 transactions a month are
okay,
going on over the last 12 months.
Yeah. All right. Well, some of these are in areas where there's not going to be a lot of vacant houses. So what would I do for that? I mean, I want to find a sweet spot where there's activity and there's vacant houses. Not there's a whole bunch of vacant houses and there's no activity, or there's lots of activity, but you're only going to get them with mailers or, you know, some other method. You're not going to find them by a bird dog taking a picture of a boarded up house.
I would think you'll be able to find them that way. Can you screenshot your Batch Geo map of Pittsburgh and send it over to the coaching email? When you start talking to buyers, that's going to line up, no doubt, where they're buying now. Not every buyer is going to be buying in every zip code where there's activity, but, yeah, that's the thing. Tom, just if you've got a week before you go, spend every moment that you have tracking down buyers, jumping on the phone, starting a relationship with them with a conversation, and just talking to them about what's your exit strategy, how do you run your numbers, what kind of properties are you looking for, and get that list ready to go, primed and ready to go. So whether you do it by the phone or do it by the data, it's no different. Either way, either they'll tell you where they're buying or the data will tell you where they're buying. But this will just go one step more where you're actually on the phone with them having a conversation. So do that for the next, what do you say, you're here a week?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm working tomorrow the next day. And, okay. I was thinking that maybe I should just hit a different market.
Why's that?
I mean, I got to do all the pretty much all the bird dog activity I've done are in areas with one or two transactions in the last 12 months. All the
so what if you
that are happening, I haven't done any at all. So what's the difference? You know, the transfer tax here in Pittsburgh is up to, you get to pay up to 4% per transaction, even though it's
if that
one,
was a
if that
was an issue
else.
Though, if that was an issue though, the transactions wouldn't be happening, but they are. So apparently, people are just accounting for it and saying, "Hey, I mean, what is it? 2-4%?" And looking at buying $50,000 to $100,000 houses, so a couple grand.
No, I'm buying $10,000 houses. So
it's
even
less. Yeah, if it was that big a deal, no, there wouldn't be transactions. But there's 130 going on a month, on average over the last 12 months. So there's activity there, no question. No question. There's activity in any city that size.
All right.
Get that buyer's list turbocharged.
All right. Well, I'll keep trying. I got that one guy who has several that I want to sell. Maybe that's a better area. I don't know. There wasn't a lot of activity in that zip code either.
Yeah, get buyers on the phone. Where are you gonna look for them? I know we've talked about
buyers.
But what? I mean, let's get specific. Who are you gonna call? Where are you gonna go?
I'm gonna call all the ones that from the list source that I'm getting.
You can call them. The new data in FreedomSoft is active, if anybody's wondering. That cash buyer data feeds back up with the new provider. Super slick, too. The old one, if you remember, you'd put in your search, click search, and the little wheel would spin. And depending on how many it pulled in, it would spin for 3 to 5 minutes. And with the way the new data works, I tried it in a couple different markkets, and it pulled up to a couple thousand within a second and a half. So really cool how it works. But
let me try it right
now.
Yep, list
source, you can go there.
I was looking at the other day.
Yeah.
I was I was looking at that today, and I was like looking at different cities, and I was like, you look at the cash buyer, number of cash buyers, and it's like way more. So I don't know what that means, but
I ran Pittsburgh too. They're super slow on their recording. Last 90 days, it showed 3. Then I went back 2 to 3 years, and it pulled in, I don't know. I don't remember the number. I think it was over 1,000. But we already know that. Pittsburgh is super slow. The county there is really, really slow on recordings. So just click advanced search and go back a couple years.
That's a good place to start. I mean, here they are. There's 3 of them. Cash buyers, 3 of them, 1 each. That's it.
Right, last 90 days. That's the thing. The county's just behind. There are more transactions than that. They're just not. They haven't recorded them yet. So, all right, Tom, make it happen. Any other questions? Shoot me an email if it's next couple days.
All right.
Who else? Questions and update.
Hey, Mike, about that cash buyer, new cash buyer data feed.
Yeah.
It has a maps option. Is that supposed to map out the purchases?
Yeah. If you've never clicked on maps, what you can do is click it. And then you'll still see a map now on the main part of the screen. And then over on the right-hand side, you can click the different buyers. And let's say they've bought 10 houses, and you click that, you know, whatever, 1, 2, 3 investments. Click it. All 10 addresses will show up on the map. Then you can click each address, and it'll show you the address. You can go to a street view, so you can see location, where they're buying. You can see property type and go right to street view and see what the houses look like. So
do you click map first?
I typically don't, just depends. But if you've got a buyer, you know, I mean, let's say you've got a house for sale and you know where it's at in the city, you can use that map feature to click down through now each one of those, and if they have multiple in and around the area, call those first or, you know, look up the information.
Well, it's not working in my system is what I was saying. I tried that, and it doesn't.
Recently you tried it?
Is it supposed to map them on the map?
It puts them on a map, yeah, each address.
No, it's not working.
I don't remember last time I did it, but it was, it's always worked as far as I know.
Okay, well, mine's
so
not.
Up in the upper right-hand corner, you can click list view or map view after you run a cash buyer search. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
So I'll look into it after the call, Joe.
Yeah, right, it's not working on mine either.
If it's not, it's just it always has. It's just a function of the new data. Tech guys will get it. We'll get it ironed out, but that's what it does.
All right. Cool.
Yep.
Cool feature.
Yeah, it is, because then it puts visual to what they've actually bought. Let me, Darren, are you back with us? Doesn't look like it. Okay.
No.
Questions and updates.
Hey, Aaron Rose here.
Aaron, what's happening?
Oh, good stuff. So with an update on the property in Berkeley, so that basically, you know, my contract had expired. I didn't come with the cash by the alternative earnest money deadline, and he was out of town. So we finally got back together on Monday.
Okay.
And we canceled that initial contract, and then I got a 60-day non-exclusive, you know, contract with a kick-out clause on this property because he's just going to do for sale by owner at this point. So
Okay. Now
that's locked in. I'm digging through right now looking for buyer, looking at through FreedomSoft at the buyer list. I'm also up on currently I've got list source open also with about to generate a report, but I was going to maybe ask you, about some of the optional fields or the output packages, because I've never bought a list off a list source before. That's open in front of me right now. And I am prepared to do, I had my kids all weekend, so I couldn't do anything with the bandit signs, but I am prepared to get the kids to help me with that, quote unquote, help me do that so I can put those out now that I have some actual time to make this happen, unless of course he finds his own buyer in the interim. So I'm moving forward with the buyers list from FreedomSoft, and but then in my market where I've been got the vacant leads. I brought in another fellow who partnered up with me on this stuff, and we were sitting together last week. He made a phone call. Actually, the second person he tried to call is a guy who's got 100 properties, another landlord that he's trying to get rid of. So he agreed on a $20,000 purchase price. We think the ARV is somewhere between 45 and probably 60.
What is the rent for?
Well, the normal rents in that market are probably around $600 to $800 for that size of house. But he's got it rented. He just rented it out for $400 2 months ago for $400 a month. So
okay,
it's older. It's never been upgraded. It's 800 and something square feet, two bed, one bath. I mean, it's got the original metal roof from 1945 on it. That shows you how long.
Yeah, $400 a month is a tough one.
Right.
Not a ton. I realize that's a pretty inexpensive purchase price. I can just tell you guys kind of the sweet spot when Rob, you know, when Rob's buying a house that's based on rent is kind of that $800 to $1,200 a month range. I mean, you take a $400 a month, take out 30%, and you're already down at $280. I mean, you know, you're owning a house for under $300 a month cash flow, assuming you're cash now. Not to say somebody wouldn't grab it, but let me ask you this: if rents go higher, why did he take four?
I think part of the reason is because it's a little bit rundown property. I think probably he's just not that interested in the business anymore, he's older, and maybe he hasn't shifted his rental prices to keep up with the market or something.
How long is the lease for? At $400.
Year. It's a year.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's not to say somebody won't take it. I mean, it's turnkey, it's ready to go. What happens is they probably get through that year.
I mean, I would be tempted to take it. I'd be tempted to hold it myself if I could get all the money for. I mean, with no money now or something,
Right.
Why not?
Yeah, it's a tough one with financing because if you're doing an owner carry or anything like that or borrowing money, you only have $280 to play with. So it seems like if anybody buys it, it'll be cash, I would guess.
Right. Okay.
There's just not a ton of room in there, but yeah, it might fly. On that deal in Denver, some weeks went by here
He came down on the price.
What's that?
He came down on the price, too. I asked him what his
Which
bottom.
One?
On the Denver one.
Yeah, I know you were tight on time. When this comes around again and you've got a live one like that, you've got to go all out in the first 4 days. So if you can't get bandit signs out, put an ad on Craigslist and pay somebody for 3 hours to go put them out for you and hand it off. It's a little bit interesting now that you're you're going to try and mark it up. I don't know if you guys are going to sell it for the same price, but anybody that gets wind of it, if he's selling it cheaper, you're not sitting in the driver's seat anymore. So not to say it can't be done, but, there was an opportunity to put a ton of marketing out there, and it sounds like maybe just a little went. Does that sound accurate?
I'm not sure because his plan to me now, because he's already had it listed before and it didn't go, so his plan that he told me was to put it up for sale by owner at $365, and my price is $352.5.
So you're going to be moving it at the same price, basically.
Basically, trying to move it at or a little bit less, even $360.
Okay.
Move it for $360.
Okay. So you, I mean, you if you can sell it for less than him and still win, you're still somewhat in the driver's seat, even though you're non-exclusive at this point. So,
right.
Just, I mean, you've got a deal in Berkeley. I mean, get the marketing out there. If you can't do it, pay somebody to do it.
Right.
Get this thing. Okay. Get this thing moved.
Aaron, did you ever call my friend?
What's that?
You ever call my friend in Denver?
No.
I sent you that email with John's buddy,
Michael
Mike, here in town.
Let me pull it up.
He's a pretty active. He runs a RIA there, so I mean, he knows a lot of developers and a lot of people.
For sure, absolutely. Hold on. Let me make sure I didn't miss this. Because of the roofing thing, I have been overwhelmed, but I did recently just get caught up quite a bit, so that's why I've got some leeway to actually make this happen right now.
Look, if there's anybody local, he'll probably know somebody if it's priced right.
Okay. Color transform.
It's in a good neighborhood, that's for sure. I did. From the coaching email.
Success team? Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, so it would have come from Rob. His name is tied to it.
I don't have it.
I'll have to check and see what day I send it. I sent it.
Oh, here it is.
So I don't remember.
The end of a different one. I got it. I got it right here. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike Mangum.
Right.
Thank you.
There
guys.
It is.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
all right, Aaron, get that sucker moving.
A lot of pumps.
Cash this check.
I will right now.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Who else has updates and questions? send
hey,
down a Taco Bell gift card. Darren's back?
Yeah, sorry about that.
No worries.
I left the house with the garage door open and the alarm off, and my wife got home. She was like, where the hell are you? Everything's open here. I just lost my head. Yeah.
That's because you have too much on your plate, not enough outsourced, and you're scattered.
I know. I'm working on it. I promise.
I know you are. I'm just messing with you.
I had my coaching call this week with my students, too, and it was basically the same call. It's just like there's stuff on your plate that you're avoiding that you don't want to do, and we're going to hit it head on this week. And I know we all know what they were. And so it's just weird how your brain works and how it wants to slow you down from what needs to happen. And the fear, it's fear. But
I'm telling you, let's talk about it for a minute, because it's at the end of the day, it's not about how-tos in real estate. It is a little, right? I mean, you have to know where to look, what to look for, a couple scripts, how to put things together, how to generate leads, but that's not the big hurdle. The big hurdle is the 6 inches between all of our ears. So
right.
it's no different for everybody. I mean, we got those little voices start chirping, and you know it's hard to shut them up sometimes. So
yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what it's about. That's the battle in life, right? So it's
right.
All internal for the most part.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
So, like I was saying, my commitment is to get that next person hired, get them onboarded in the next week or two, however quickly I can do it. And then I was starting to tell you that, you know, I've started a while ago, back in January, I started compiling a list of just realtors that I do business with. And the way that I did it was, in order for them to call me and set up a showing, they had to call my FreedomSoft number, and they had to so it logged them in this campaign. So I have like 700 people in this database now. And so
right.
I have a wholesale deal under contract in an area outside of my area here. And so I've been having a tough time finding a buyer. I sent out a text message to those 700 realtors this morning that just said, hey, it's Darren from Relief Properties. I've got a great rental available. Let me know if you want to show it. And it's like it's been on fire all day over there. It's just like
I love it.
Buyer. So I think what I've come down to is that even if I use these realtors to offload some of these properties in the beginning, I'll eventually figure out and learn who the buyers are, because they're going to be the ones buying the house from me.
Yep.
And so then it'll be easier for me to make a relationship with them, and I'll add them to my buyers list one at a time. But so in doing that, though, my question is related to FreedomSoft. And so when I go to the campaign, and then I go to all right, I got to think of the terminology. It's an unconfirmed record, and it's one of the So I just want to go through the unconfirmed, and I want to click through those guys, and I want to confirm them, and I want to type in their name, what the realtor's name is, et cetera. I think there might be some type of bug that when you click on a specific category, and then I try to scroll through just those ones, the system just wigs out and like takes me to weird. It's not going consecutively to the right to the next record.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anything like that, Darren. Do you have Jing or something or Camtasia where you can shoot a little screen capture video for me?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Do that. That's the easiest way. Just show me the steps you're going through.
Okay.
And then let me take a look. Because I was working with the confirmation piece earlier today and a few other things, and it was working just fine on this end.
Okay.
So, yeah, show me. That's really the best way on something like that. If you can shoot a little video, send it over to the coaching center, and I'll take a look.
Got it.
And this is Darren, right? This strategy he just set up is just him reaching out to his existing non-investor contacts. But everybody has non-investor contacts. Why couldn't you set up a campaign and then tie a number to it and then put a post on FreedomSoft that says, you know, hey, everybody, I've got a great rental for sale in this zip code. You know, maybe some of you are looking for a rental. It's a great time to own real estate. Or maybe you know somebody. Do me a favor if you can. Either call this number or pass along this number. Leave me a quick message and I'll follow up with some details. Why couldn't anybody do that?
Very powerful.
And then you've got it all parked in one spot. I mean, just
right.
Leveraging. Yeah, I love what you did there because you're just taking advantage of people that are that you already interact with, but everybody can do the same thing. So if you're thinking, well, I'm not an agent, I can't do that. Well, of course you can.
Well, how did you sort them out? Just by a category?
No. So the phone number is set up, and that's static, and that doesn't change. But then where you post the phone number, like I only post that one phone number in the MLS for agents to call when they want to set up showing instructions to show one of my properties. So it's collecting agents that know my work and know who I am. And
but
so
in your contacts at FreedomSoft, they're all agents, right?
Only in that one campaign. So I'm putting them into one bucket, into one campaign. And so the most powerful thing, this is insane, is like if I want to get a message out to those 700 realtors in 1 second, I can type whatever information I want to get to them and hit send, and then it takes me a minute to click through all the text messages, but it is the most powerful thing that when you build a database and you can access the people you want to send a message to immediately, I can get a message to them quicker than their mom. Like, that quick, all 700 of them, boom. I want you to know something right now. Here it is. Here's your information. Boom. Done.
Oh, and text is the way to go, right? When you're moving a deal to your buyer's list, text first, email second. Always.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, I got a question for
you. Didn't used to be that way.
Wasn't there something, a rule in 2013 about about texts that were not unsolicited texts?
Yeah, but I smooth it over with them really quickly because what I say is, see, I have the information of when they called me and what they called me about, and they generally leave me a voicemail right there in FreedomSoft. So if anyone gets huffy and puffy, I say, hey, this is Darren. You know me. You called me on, you know, a few weeks ago about 123 Carabel Avenue, and I gave you showing instructions, remember? And I thought that since you didn't buy this house, maybe your buyer would be interested in my new deal. And that happened today. Someone got all huffy on me, and I just said, hey, I know you, Stacy. This is Darren.
Right.
You got a buyer? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was you. And so, you know.
And here's the thing about that. It's called TCPA, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. What we built into FreedomSoft, you know, and this disclaimer always goes out, right? We're not legal experts around there, but when you have one 10-digit number sending the exact same message to multiple other 10-digit numbers in a blast, then they call that, or that's on the you can't do this list. If you can blast text message, but you have what's called a short code, it's a 5-digit number, you opt into it first, and then like I'm on a daily one. Where this guy just sends out like a good little video on personal development type stuff that I opted into. That's perfectly legal. what we built in FreedomSoft, we get this question a lot, why do I have to click send on every message? Because it's not one 10-digit number sending the same blast to multiple others in a blast type format. It's one number sending a message to one other number, and every one is a separate transaction. And that's why FreedomSoft has been built that way, because we believe it to be compliant with TCPA. Now, at the end of the day, you all are the ones clicking send, so if you feel the need to look into that further, feel free. But that's specifically why the system is built the way it is.
So it sends it as a separate message.
It's a separate, right, because TCPA doesn't mention anything about one number sending a message to one other number.
Even though you're sending the same message to all those numbers, it doesn't recognize it as such. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. It's single transactions, single sends.
So if you have 700 people to send, you have to click it 700 times for each one.
Yep. You line it up,
okay,
and you just keep clicking the mouse, and the pages just keep rolling up.
Pop.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
You got it.
Oh, okay. Easy enough. Yeah.
Yep.
That's easy enough.
Yeah. So that, I mean, what Darren did here is something that everybody can do and leverage social media. Hey, I've got a property. Even if you're out of state, I mean, you just never know who knows somebody. I mean, Tom, you go out on Facebook and say, hey, moving a deal in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I live in Denver, but I'm selling a deal in Pittsburgh. If you know anybody that's buying there or contact there, bam, I set up a special number. Feel free to pass this along. They can leave me a message. And then here's what's interesting about that. Somebody's going to say, wait a minute, Tom, you live in Colorado, but you buy in Pittsburgh. How the heck do you do that? And now we've got this conversation going. So you can all use the same method. So, Darren, yeah, that's cool.
It's really just been really probably one of the most powerful things that I've used in my business in the last couple of years to build my brand. And the other thing that I do is every time I send out a message, I always start it with the same tagline. I say, hey, it's Darren, exclamation point, or now I change it to, hey, it's Darren from Relief Properties, because I want everybody to start connecting me with Relief Properties, and I want to get that out so it's all together. But and I went to a conference like 4 hours away in another county, and I had my name tag on it. It said Darren on it. And I walked up to a table of complete strangers. I was like, hey, I'm Darren. And the guy was like, you got to be shitting me. He was like, are you the Darren that sends me emails and text messages? And I was like,
that's
well,
perfect.
It is. I am the guy. It was just totally amazing that, you know, it could reach that far. And
here's the thing. It sounds corny, right? But
yeah,
those of you, how does Rob sign off every email? Somebody on here will know this, I'm sure. At the bottom of every email Rob sends, what does he say?
Go flip a house.
Go flip a house. Every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Right, and he's just
more quick.
And he's just building a little tagline, right? There was one guy that we were working with months back. We didn't recommend this, but this was cool. He kind of walked into it by accident, but he was explaining. Somebody asked him, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I buy beat-up houses in distress. And he goes, oh, you buy junky houses. And he goes, yeah, I'm the junky house guy. And that's who he's become. I'm the junky house guy. You hear about a junky house, and now what happens is, when people hear that, they don't necessarily remember his name, but they see a beat-up house. They hear a neighbor talking about a beat-up house. They drive by a beat-up house. Hey, the junky house guy wants to know about that, and he gets called. People just saying, hey, I heard about so-and-so. So,
hey,
just building
I want to be the junky
building
house
a little
guy.
Brand. That's right. Yeah, all of us do.
Right.
That was cool. That was cool how he walked into it.
That's all I got for this week. Wish me luck, guys.
Good luck. Hey, how close are the guys on that other info, Mike?
What's that?
On the county record info.
What about it?
How close are the tech guys on that?
What do you mean?
On
the
county?
Yeah.
Find the seller info and county record.
Yeah, the data. the data is already in place. It's just the user experience part to click the button. So, yeah, what John's referring to is there's going to be, with this new data provider, we're bringing in public records, or I should say owner of record data from public records. So you type in an address, and there will be a little button. I think it will be at the top by the address that says, I think it's going to say, show me the owner, something like that. And when you click on it, it'll pull owner of record data out of the public record. So this initial import, and the reason it took all weekend was 94 million records was the initial upload, and then there's a monthly update from the new data provider on all this stuff. So, I mean, all of our servers and whatever, I'm not, you know, I don't get that technical, but that thing was just working overtime. And so that initial import is now done.
Man, it'd be sweet if they auto-populate it, man. I'm telling you, with all the other stuff.
Well, the thing about it is we're paying. We're not passing on the expense, but we are paying for it. And so instead of, I mean, if somebody, you know, just has 30,000 records in their account, instead of paying for all of those, we're gonna have the users click it. So that's what's going on with it. So what you can do now, like on these vacants, instead of going to, you know, instead of your VA going to the county website and do an owner of record research, they can just push the button in FreedomSoft and then go right to the skip trace.
It's gonna save them hours.
Yeah.
So is it gonna
be save a lot of
pay
time.
As you go kind of thing? Is that what you're getting at?
Probably. No, my understanding is we're paying for it. We're not passing along the expense, but that's why it's not going to automatically do it. Does that make sense?
But
that's
if you enter an address, if you enter an address, that information is available though.
It's sitting there. You just have to push the button to pull it. Yep.
I mean, if we push that button, couldn't it put in the beds and baths and square footage and
I don't know exactly what it's going to pull.
Yeah,
I'm not
nice,
sure. Yeah, well,
our competitor does it, and I know
beds,
that if
beds, baths, and square feet was already in there. You just didn't see it until you went to the comps page, but that's where it pulled. So I haven't seen it yet. I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen
right.
it. Yet.
Hey, Mike, I don't really understand what you guys are talking about. Can you go over that real quick?
Well, yeah, you put in 123 Main Street, like on a vacant, and the first thing your VA does is they go to the county records and they type it in and figure out who's the owner of record.
Right.
Right now, when this goes live, you stay in FreedomSoft, here's my address, you're going to push show me the owner, and it's going to pull the owner of record and just show it on the screen.
We just don't have it yet.
Yeah, the data's in place. It's just the user interface piece. They have to put in the button that you'll click, and then the display for what it's going to show. Does that make sense, Tom?
Then the skip tracer just has to find the phone numbers.
So, yeah, right now your skip tracer needs FreedomSoft open, county website, and Intellius or whatever they're using. The only two they're going to need are FreedomSoft and Intellius, or the skip tracing site, because owner of record will be right there.
Awesome.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Where do we enter?
Yeah.
Is that under property address that we enter that information, or where in FreedomSoft?
It'll be at the top, yeah, where you put the address in for the property address. That's where it's
okay.
going to sit, I believe, and it'll just say, show me. I think it's going to say, show me the owner, or owner of record, something like that.
That's great.
So, yeah, you guys all saw the pie chart that went in, right? On your campaign page?
Yeah.
Speaking of new features, so now
you've
got a visual on where every status lives. The other thing you can do is you can move multiple leads at a time to a different campaign. So let me explain this. So let's say you're running all your vacants and you've got one bird dog in a city and they've got, you know, they brought in 800 vacant houses. And then let's say you have two salespeople, right? You've got salesperson one, salesperson two. What you had to do last week is you want to divvy up those leads. Maybe you're going to split them half and half, whatever the case, but you want to get some of them to salesperson one, some to salesperson two, so you set up a campaign for them, What you can do now is just select all of the campaigns that you want to move, go up to the gray toolbar, click the campaign button, all your campaigns will drop down, select which ones you want to put the leads in, and click apply, and they'll automatically go. So if you want, let's say maybe you want your sales team, you know, to give them both the leads and they can move them all, you can do that, or you can split them up, and then they can only see the ones that you gave to them. And so it just, you can now move leads around campaigns in bulk. And what it does is it's slick because it doesn't actually move the lead. It just allows another campaign to view the lead, because if we truly moved it, all of your campaign tracking stats would go away. They wouldn't be accurate. So it's not going to mess up the tracking stats. It's just going to be viewable from two different campaigns, the exact same lead record.
Nice.
Make sense? Yeah. So as your teams start to grow, right, which a handful of you on here are in the middle of that right now, you'll just be able to move leads around easier. The other thing that went in today is property permissions. So now when you click into a property, on the top left above the details page, it says property permissions. So what you can do now is you can give your sales team permissions to see the leads. When those leads go under contract and get converted to a property, you can shut them out of it if you want, and you can just give permission to your dispositions folks. So sales team can't even see it anymore. Dispositions team can. Dispositions team can't see leads campaigns. So you can have it the same if you want, or you can segment those into different people.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Would you say that having one disposition guy for every sales guy is a good ratio, or would you feel like you need more of one over the other to keep things moving smoothly and balanced?
Yeah, I would go. I think you could be two or three salespeople to one dispositions person.
Okay. Just to keep
again, you're
busy.
You're gonna have to balance the load, but your sales team is, you know, chugging through numbers, getting sellers on the phone, so they need a ton of leads to get that moving. Obviously, you know, it's going to be a much smaller number that gets converted to a property as opposed to leads. But then your dispositions person is full-time, you know, building relationship with buyers, selling deals, getting that thing moved. I mean, could a dispositions person – I mean, you could feed them a couple properties a week and they should be okay, because they're going to go right now. Property A is under contract, you know, B just came in, C is going to be here ready to go in 2 days, and they just start working through them. So yeah, you could have a couple salespeople to one disposition, should be able to.
Got it. Okay. Well,
yep.
Maybe I'll just get busy on that right away then.
Because your dispositions person isn't chugging through leads. They're talking to your buyers. You know buyers. And Darren, one of the things you can do then, you can go, I mean, you're the guy running this whole thing, as are all of you, the guy or gal running the business. You can go meet new buyers, establish that great relationship, and say, hey, here's how this works. You're going to hear from my dispositions guy or gal, whoever that is. You know, they're working on our team, but, you know, you've made the initial contact. You know, you're out in the community. You have, you know 700 agents, yada, yada, yada. So now you can start building that network and just plugging them in and calling up the dispositions person. Hey, I just talked to so-and-so, you know, told them what we're doing. I said you'd reach out quick if you want to have them follow up or whatever the case. But that's a great CEO-level activity to build the network, no doubt.
Okay.
And you're kind of doing it anyway just based on what you do. So, being an agent, fixing and flipping houses, being plugged in, winning awards, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm trying to get my mindset on doing this remotely in locations that I don't live in. So that piece is
No different. It's a phone call instead of coffee at Starbucks. No different.
Right.
You call up. Hey, my name's Darren. Bam, I'm an investor out of here. I'm buying here now. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And that's it. It's
yeah.
just peach cake. Yep.
Well, here's another thing that I thought about strategically. In a market that I don't live in, I just happen to have a friend that lives in the other market that I'm wholesaling in, and she,
yep.
with me even asking, she gave me access to her MLS.
Perfect.
Her account.
Here's the thing,
so,
though. Yeah. Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Yeah, what I was gonna say is if I did a search for all the cash sold in a zip code in the last 90 days. I'm going to get all of the realtors' names. I'm not going to get the buyers' names, but I'm going to get the realtors' names who worked with that cash buyer to purchase XYZ property. And so
yep.
I can create a campaign the same and add all those realtors to it that were working in that area. And I can
yep.
send them a text message blast that just says, hey, it's Darren. I've got a property, I've got a contract that I'm selling in this zip code. Hit me back if you're interested. And that's just until I get my feet going, until I can
yep.
get my buyer relationships built. But I want to start unloading some of these properties that are under contract.
Yeah, and that's pretty easy from a wholesaler standpoint. You can just put this in the message. Hey, if you're an agent and you bring this to your buyer, I'm asking $40,000 for it. Tack on whatever your commission is and move it for that. That way you
right.
communicate up front. You just let them know up front that you're not paying their commission. And for the most part, it's a non-issue. I mean, the agent has investor buyers, and they just say, hey, I found you another one. I'm going to put my commission on as my finder's fee. And the buyer's like, great. You found it for me and brought it over. It's just a non-issue. But that's how you handle that, if anybody asks. Hey, that's fantastic. Yeah, take my price and add your commission on it. Of course you should get paid. That's how you do it.
Hey, Mike. This is Tom again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a conversation with a realtor today, and he was totally uninterested in trying to help me at first anyway. He was saying, you know, what's in it for me? He says, I know all the investors, and, you know, they go out and find all the boarded up houses and do it themselves, you know. And so I really didn't know where to go with the conversation, you know. I mean,
yeah, go to another agent if that's the conversation. It sounds like you got Debbie Downer on the phone, even though he was a dude, which
yeah.
that's fine. He doesn't know all the buyers. But for him to be thinking what's in it for me, that's how everybody's going to think. So when you approach any new business conversation and you don't know them, start with what you can bring to the table and then follow up with what you need or what you're looking for. That's just how you want to operate it anyway. You're going to a new title company. You know, we just always lead with, here's what we're looking for, because, you know, we need a relationship with a title company in town. You know, we heard you are good. We'd love to bring some business your way. See if we can get a relationship set up. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, I can see it. Well, I can see it with a title company, but I mean, what are we going to do with a real estate guy? I mean, basically, I wanted
not
to get
list
the cash sold.
If he has buyers, say he just told you he knows all the buyers. Say, hey, that's fantastic. Let's do this. I know how to find the good deals, right? I'll bring them to you. You can add your commission to them. Take them to your buyers list. And see if you can close the second half of the transaction, get you paid. I'd be happy to do that. Or you can go with, I'm generating a bunch of leads. Here's the thing. As I'm on the phone with sellers, an investor purchase doesn't always fit for everybody. Sometimes they just need to speak with an agent who can do a traditional listing.
Yeah,
so in that
I used
case,
that one. He,
I'd love
he
to find somebody in town.
All.
Well,
yeah.
That's fine.
He didn't get that at all.
There are only 10,000 other to choose from. In that market, I would imagine. You said that this guy was a punk anyway, so next.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Yeah, you really want to look for, I mean, it's, you know, you talk about the 80-20 rule in business. I think with agents, it's like 97-3. 3% are like Darren and are top dogs and know what they're doing and know how to have a conversation. And then I don't know that I'm, I get I'm stereotyping pretty big here, but there are some fantastic agents and there are some clowns, total clowns, that just don't get it. So you got off on a bad start with this guy. So what? Find somebody else that's a professional and knows what's going on.
Well, with me, what happens is I just figure I'm just blowing it. I'm not saying what I need to be saying.
I'm not saying he's an idiot. You just said he was a jerk. So those are those can be two different things. But either way, you had a conversation. So call another one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you took a step forward. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get somebody else on the phone.
All right.
Hey, call up. Just call like one of the bigger Remax, Coldwell Banker, Keller Williams, whatever. Just call. There's typically somebody new working the floor, and they're just hoping, you know, praying that somebody calls in and says, hey, I've got a $3 million house. Can you list it for me? Which never happens, but they're answering the phone. You know, we used to do this all the time in new markets. We would just call up. Somebody answers the phone, and I'd say, hey, this is Mike. I'm from Denver. I'm a real estate investor, and I'm going to start buying in your market there. Who is the person in your office that everybody knows to be the local expert when it comes to working with real estate investors? And just ask that question. Because, you can work in an office for 3 weeks, and the new person already knows who does what and who are the king and queen of this office, who knocks it out of the park, who owns 1,000 rentals, who gets the fix and flip thing, because it's just office talk, and they plug right into it. And they would say, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And I was like, great, can you connect me? I mean, it didn't always go that smooth, but most of the time it did.
Okay, that's a good idea.
And then, the other question you can ask, you get them on the phone, and I would just tell them how I found them. I was like, hey, Tom, we've never spoken before. Here's what I just did. I dialed your number. So-and-so answered, and I asked this question, and they pointed me to you. So it sounds like you've got a pretty good pulse on what's going on. And they say, yeah, we start to have a conversation. And I say, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm out of state. I'm an active buyer here. I'm going to start buying in this market. Do you have room to work with another investor? Or, are you booked, or are you exclusive with somebody else, or what's the deal? Again, I'm gonna respect any relationship that you already have in place. So tell me how that looks. And then you're coming in and just being respectful of, they may have told somebody, hey, you're a serious buyer. I'll just work with you. Every deal I find, I'll bring your way. In which case, you say, that's awesome. I'm looking for somebody loyal like you. Do you know anybody else that may have an opening that operates the same way you do? With that loyalty, because I'm a loyal person too, so I want a relationship just like that. Who can I talk with? So you're just getting, you don't know them yet, but this is how you found them, and we would just be, hey, here's how I found you, and then have a conversation with them.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. Who else? Questions?
This is Mark.
Mark, what's happening?
Hey, San Antonio one.
Yes, sir.
Yes, just trying to get hold of him again today. We're going to start offering 43.
Okay.
And see what he takes from there. And then
so Mark,
just go to 30.
What are rents? Let's run math on this.
Yeah.
And, well, tell me how you arrived at 33,000.
Well, we're going to go 43, and because he bought it for 35, he's already done some work in it, still needs work.
Okay.
Okay, we don't know how much work, but anyway, rent's 800 is what I'm taking it off of. Okay. And I'll go up as high as 47.
And how much work does it need?
Well, I don't know. That's why I was trying to, when I emailed you earlier in the week, I was trying to get somebody in there.
What do you estimate it at? We don't need somebody in there yet. We need it under contract first. So what do you estimate it at?
Well, we're estimating about 15.
Okay. So let's run this worst case and then best case scenario. 47,000 plus 15,000
Right.
Hang on. My fingers got goofed up, right? 62, a little bit in closing
62.
Thoughts. 62. Yep. We're
right.
Let's just go off 62. 62,800 gross rent times 0.7.
60,
well,
that's
6720. Well, let's
that's 6720, which is 10 years.
Let's do return of cash, yeah.
Yeah.
So 62,000 divided by, you're ahead of me, 560 divided by 12, 9.2 years. Yep.
Yeah.
Not terrible.
Right.
What kind? Let's see what kind of return that is. So 560 times 12, so net rent 6720 divided by 62,000, 10.8 cap, basically. Not terrible at a worst case scenario.
Right.
And so what's best case? You get it for 32 and then mark it up what?
Well, I don't get it for 32 because he paid 35 and he's done work in it.
And then you said you're going to offer him 33?
No. 43 is where I'm going to start.
Okay.
And then go to 47.
So max out at 47.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. If you're at 47 and I'm your buyer, I'm not at 47. I'm at 52-ish or more, right?
Right, plus the whatever it's going to take to repair.
Yep. So here's what I think you do, is I think you go in low and let him counter, and then we move on and find another one and do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So just say, because it really, this is a tough one to learn. It's irrelevant what he paid for it. It's irrelevant what he has into it. It's irrelevant what a deal is listed for. That's all irrelevant. What's relevant is what you are willing to pay for it. That's what's relevant. So we never want to bring, and you know, obviously Rob's been doing this a long time, but he doesn't care about the other stuff. He looks at a deal and says, based on this rent, this is what I can pay, makes the offer. They accept, reject, or counter. And, you know, if they accept, obviously he's under contract. If they reject, doesn't care. If they counter, he'll run some quick math on their counter and see if he can pay it or not, and then find another one to do the same thing. So I feel like what you do is you get your head around the number. Maybe you just want to go in highest and best, your best offer right off the gate, and say, hey, man, I ran the numbers. This is what I can pay. Submit the offer, and they take it or they don't. That's it.
Okay.
And we go to the next. And that I mean, that is the process, rinse and repeat. So what is, based on that, what is, it's an okay deal at 47. Again, you're going to have to mark it up, and then somebody's going to have to put it in. So those numbers get slightly worse. Now we're only talking about, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 or so, but they get slightly worse than what we just ran. So if I go, you know, you know we bought it for 35, has some work into it. You know, let's run it at, let's say you had it at 40. That's the thing. We're getting close to that 47 number, you know, based on your offer price and then marking it up. So, but that's where you land this thing, Mark, is you just say, this is the most I'm willing to pay for it. Have Esther help out, drop the paperwork, send it, find another one. See what he says.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
That's the game.
And then, all right. So did you send out an email about for an ad for a sales person?
I didn't.
Okay.
No, what? No.
All right. Well, I was talking to Darren earlier today, and he thought you had, and I didn't see it. And so I was kind of curious if you had.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Anything
well,
else?
That's where I'm at. I'm just going to keep making calls and see what we get.
Cool. That's it. That's it, man. Find a deal, talk to a seller, make an offer. Find a seller, talk to him, make an offer. Find a seller, talk to him, make an offer. Rinse and repeat.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, let's go find 10 more of these. That's how it works.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, this is Woody.
Hey, Woody.
Hey, I have a question about a co-op lead.
Yep.
How does it work?
I'll get you set up with an account in Rob's account.
Okay.
And yep.
then,
and
from
then
there,
you'll actually, I'll... yep, you'll uh-huh. be able to log in. There will be leads there, and you will log in, and they've been skip traced. Phone numbers are ready to go. Jump on the phone.
Okay. Okay.
Yes,
so
sir.
Start dialing.
You got it.
Yeah, so far I have been looking onto the vacant property. My
yep.
bird dog are sending me some property from my market. But
okay.
I would say 90% of the skip trace is really not working. And on the owner outreach, what's happening in that market is that some of the owner are buying 2, 3, 4 houses around them. And they were telling us they bought it so they don't want any neighbor. So, you know, basically they don't want to sell until they pass away and leave all those vacant property to their heirs. So it's been very tough in that market.
Yeah, so let's talk about the skip tracing data. Who are you having do it? You hired a VA for it?
Yeah, I have a VA for it, skip tracing the data.
Okay. Okay, we need to make sure that they're pulling, which service are they using, and we need to make sure they're putting correct addresses into the
okay.
skip trace service. Do you know which service they're using for the skip trace?
Yeah, I'm using Intelus.
Okay. So
yeah,
that sounds
Intelus.
Right. Make sure they're putting in owner of record's name, obviously.
Okay.
And then putting in the property address, the mailing address. From the county website,
okay.
not the vacant house property address.
Okay.
Make
okay.
sure vacant address is going in because, you know, Rob, I mean, this is Rob's system. His VA does
okay.
the exact same thing. They,
uh-huh.
the vacant leads come in, they go to
uh-huh.
the county website, they grab owner of record,
uh-huh.
they go to Intellius, Rob's
uh-huh.
Intellius account, log in, do the research, and they're getting somewhere between, it's a moving target, but 40 to 55% of the leads
wow.
have a good number tied to it.
Wow, that's
so,
very good.
Yeah, well, and it's the same process that you're doing. So that's why we
uh-huh.
have to. That's why we have to inspect it because what your VA is looking for are
mm-hmm.
are some connections, either a spouse's name,
mm-hmm.
a property address that's the same. You know,
mm-hmm.
they've got to follow the clues and do a little bit of digging. So
okay.
has your VA done skip tracing before?
Yes, he does. He did it before, and then he has on a VPN where he has his own virtual private servers, so he can basically log in onto a U.S. account. So,
yeah, okay.
So
he's
very familiar with it.
Keep me posted on this process and your stats, because
okay,
I don't know if you have an idea of what percentage you're getting now, but that's the same
mm-hmm.
process Rob is using, and he's above 40%.
Okay.
On numbers again,
okay.
it's a bit of a moving target, but
mm-hmm.
it should be. He starts with Intellius, and then
uh-huh.
if they don't get any good numbers, there's a status. The VA will change it, or the salesperson will change it to re-skip trace, and then when Rob's VA sees that, she
mm-hmm.
takes it over into White Pages Premium, and tries it again. If they
okay.
don't find
okay.
good numbers after that, he just. He'll drop a postcard in the mail to the mailing address
okay.
and say, hey,
okay.
I'm trying to reach out to you about your property at 123 Main Street. But that's
mm-hmm.
that's the process. Intellius, White Pages Premium, mm-hmm. postcards.
Okay.
So
and
yeah,
can, I also okay.
go ahead.
I was gonna say I also found this subscription. It's called a Vacant
uh-huh.
House Data Feed. Are you familiar with it?
Vacant house? No. What is it? Vacant
yeah.
house deducted?
No. Vacant house data feed. It's kind of
okay.
It's kind of a software. It gives you all the data.
Oh
house.
Yeah.
I mean, all
yeah,
the vacant house in the U.S.
Yeah, we're about to bring one a vacant house data feed into FreedomSoft. It's going to be
okay.
piped in. I think
okay.
there's going to be a one-time. What I've heard so far, I think there's going to be a one-time feed to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our take on it, Woody. If you
mm-hmm.
can buy the data, so can 100 other people.
That's right. That's right.
We know how they buy it. They're using some U.S. Postal Service data,
okay.
like a certified vacant. When
mm-hmm.
like return mail or the mailbox just piles up, that kind of thing. Here's the thing about it. Putting bird dogs on the ground, there will be some overlap, but nothing beats putting eyeballs on a vacant house and having somebody on, you know, in the city send you that address. With this method, like I said, there will be some overlap, but you will find vacant houses that do not show up on the U.S. Postal Service database. So this method still wins.
Yeah, I'm just using the website to complement the bird dogs.
Because, if you have access to it and you paid for it, I'm all for it. But like you said, use it to complement and not as a primary, because your bird dogs will dig up stuff that database doesn't find. So, and there's really little to no competition on those. I mean, they're just sitting there. But yeah, the other ones, I mean, that's the thing about it, right? You can pay for the list, so can anybody else.
Okay.
So,
and then I found one of the vacant house. The owner pretty much called me back.
Okay.
I found out from the county website that the house is condemned for demolition.
Okay.
And he's calling me to sell it to me, telling me he didn't know about the demolition.
Yeah, telling you what about the demolition?
He was telling me he did not know there was a violation.
How did you find out about it?
It was clear on the county website.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the county website showed it condemned for demolition. So
that's crazy.
I was just thinking, I could have, you know, basically bought his house and 2 years later.
And then had it knocked down?
Yeah.
So if it's in a good location and if you think there's maybe a deal there, call the county up real quick and say, hey, here's this deal. You know, why are you demoing it? I found it. I'm a real estate buyer in the area. You know, if I can buy it from this homeowner and get somebody in there and do a little work to it, you know, can this process be stopped, or is it too late? We're past the point of no return. So you'll have to determine if it's worth an extra phone call or not, but that's an interesting one.
Okay. So even though it's condemned, the city can stop that order.
That's what you have to find out. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But if it's in a decent little spot, I mean, you know, knowing that and the owner didn't even know it, say, hey, man, they're going to knock this thing over. You might as well cash a little check. You know, let me take this thing over. So, you know, you would want to know, are the taxes past due? If he doesn't even know it's being knocked over, you know, that's a pretty serious level of neglect on the house. So you'd want to do a little research on it. But again, if it's you know, location, if it's in a good spot, make a phone call to the city and see what they tell you.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yep. Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Couldn't you buy a property like that and have it scraped and rebuild?
That's an interesting, I've never come across this. You know, I don't know if, buy it, right? And tell the city, hey, come do your thing and save me the $6,500 to have it hauled away.
Right.
Yeah, but,
why not? Buy it for $500.
The bad thing is you have to pay the city to demo it.
I would think so. Yeah, they're going to recover their cost some way.
Yeah, they would charge
to
demo it.
It's probably worth a phone call, like I said, if it's in a good spot. If you think it's a dump and not worth pursuing, move on. But if it's in a place where there's buyer activity, then worth a quick call to the city. See what you can find out.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool.
I'll let you know.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds good. Who else?
Hey, this is Darren. I have a
city
quick
demo. Yeah.
About the new data feed where you can get the owner of record to pull in to FreedomSoft.
Yep.
Is it also going to pull in the mailing address for us? Because we'll need that in order to skip trace. I'm just assuming it will.
I believe so. I believe name and email, or name and mailing address for owner of record data.
Got it.
And
that's
the thing is, Rob is, he's the one behind this telling the data company what to pull in. So I haven't seen it yet, but it'll be intelligent because Rob's behind it. That's a pretty safe assumption.
Got it. I think that we all had to add mailing address fields, though, as custom fields. they weren't standard fields. So from a programming perspective, I'm wondering how he's going to accomplish that. But
I think it'll. I think when you click the button, it's just going to pull in the data, and the whatever data it's pulling, our tech guys will automatically throw those fields in there. So those custom fields may become obsolete. We should know here soon.
Okay.
So, yep, good question.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a big deal. This new data company is top-notch. We met them about a year ago, something like that. Rob and the guy, he's a COO over there or something, I can't remember, but they've been going back and forth. We heard their story about how they got started, what they have access to. So it'll be a good relationship. We're looking forward to it.
So are we.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe how much quicker that cash buyer date is. I mean, it's almost instant now, which is really slick.
Mm.
So,
have a different data source for it.
The data actually comes in on a different way. This data is all, not that this any of this matters, but this data is all stored on our server. The other one made a call to the other company. And so it would call for X amount of data. Then that company server would find it, serve it up, send it back to the app and display it. This data all gets imported, sits on our server. And so when you push send, it's just a direct pull.
Yeah.
So it's quick. Anyway.
Nice.
None of us like waiting anymore for things online, so.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
Who's excited?
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. FreedomSoft is such a capable tool. It has been for a while, constantly getting better. And I don't know that Rob will ever be done with it. It's just, we've got more stuff that's coming too. So it'll just keep getting better and better.
Beauty.
Yep. Any other questions? Always good conversation on these calls. A lot of stuff happening, so it's good stuff. I know we have a lot of people just listening too, which is great. You just like to chime in and hear what's going on and get the feedback, and that's awesome. So if you have anything specific, let me know. If there aren't any more questions, and I'll tell everybody to have a wonderful and safe July 4th weekend. I believe, I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure Monday is, because the 4th of July is Tuesday. So let me get an email out tomorrow. I'll check and see. Melissa in the office knows what the schedule looks like, what the days off are and that kind of thing. But I'm guessing office hours will be slightly different next week. So just keep an eye out for an email from us, and we'll keep you in the loop on that. Sound good?
All right.
All right, everybody.
Yes, sir. All right, Mike. Appreciate you.
Yeah, have a great afternoon / evening. Yeah, keep the momentum.
Happy 4th of July.
Keep your feet on the gas. Yeah, happy Independence Day, everybody. Be safe. Don't blow off any of your limbs. And watch for that email about office hours next week, and we'll chat soon, okay?
All right. Good night.
Take care, everyone. See ya.
Dip, dip, dip!